This is Live and Local, your connection to local music. And we're going to talk today with Chester Always, who is music director of the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana. They're giving an extra summer concert this coming Sunday, which should be a rather exciting one for quite a number of reasons, which we will explore very shortly on Live and Local. I'd like to be able to tell you what that music is, but I'm afraid I can't, because it surprised me. That was supposed to have been some guitar music from 19th century Spain, and it turns out it is a different disc that was put in the wrong box. So it was obviously rag by somebody, and it sounded like a modern twist on ragtime, and certainly nicely played, and I hope you enjoyed it this morning, because I sure did, and I even enjoyed the surprise of it. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we're going to talk today a bit about music by Mendelssohn and Handel and whatever else comes up as we talk with Chet Always, who has been on the show a few times already. Glad to have him again. And there's a reason, of course. Chet is a professor of choral music at the University of Illinois, and also, in this case, music director of the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana. They are performing this coming Sunday, the 12th of July at 7:30 at the Episcopal Chapel of St. John the Divine on South Wright Street in Champaign, and they're doing a rather special piece, which is one that I don't think I've ever heard, so I'm really going to look forward to hearing it. So welcome to the show, Chet.
Thanks, Kevin. It's great to be here.
And I've given the teaser. You might as well tell us what's the big piece.
Well, I was telling you before the show that this concert has sort of evolved into something other than it started out. It started out just to be a continuation of the celebration of Handel that we're doing this year, and recognizing the central role the chorus plays, not only in his music, but in our structure, as it were. And we decided to do a summer concert to sort of fill a void, because there used to be all kinds of things that went on the summer chorus, summer orchestra, recitals, this kind of thing, and that's really been drastically curtailed. So we decided to do a concert, and they dared me, more or less. I mentioned that the piece that you referred to...
The chorus dared you.
Yeah, I mentioned that I had sort of been afraid of but wanted to perform Dixit Dominus my entire life, but never had the opportunity or the group or the right occasion. They said, well, here it is. And I sort of threw down the gauntlet and said, okay. I said, well, I don't know. We'll try it and see. And, you know, it's been a wonderful experience. I've told somebody in the chorus, I'm glad that I waited till I'm this old to do it, because if I was younger when I had done it, I think I would have given up on it and just run away screaming or something. It's a very hard piece, but worth it. So we paired that. We don't get to, except when we do something with you or somebody else outside the Baroque period, we don't get to go.
You mean somebody like the Prairie Ensemble?
I've done Mozart and Haydn with you. And this was an opportunity to do some works by Mendelssohn, who, by the way, is also one of the anniversary boys, along with Handel and who's the third one? Haydn, who are having big years this year. So there were three motets by Mendelssohn that I knew for four parts, that are gorgeous and not often done. An interesting set of pieces. and I knew that the chorus would love them, and it would be a nice change, and it gave us an opportunity to sort of get outside of our bailiwick. So originally the concert was going to be three motets by Mendelssohn and Dixit Dominus.
End of story.
End of story, except that all kinds of events began to conspire, and it's turned into a reunion concert that's gotten bigger. Card to fall, as it were, in this deck of cards here, was finding out that Christina Alexandru and Iskandar Komilov, her husband, were going to be in the States from Spain, where they now live, at about this time, coming to Champaign-Urbana. And so we got on the email and said, we're having a concert, why don't you play?
And Christina was concertmaster for some time.
She's been involved with Bach, back to 2000, I know. She played the St. Matthew Passion we did in 2000. And they've only been out of town, I think, 2 years now. And so it was a great opportunity to see her, and they jumped on the opportunity. So they're going to perform a Handel Trio Sonata. I invited Sherry Pantaki to sing on this concert because she'll be leaving in the fall to do an artist diploma at Yale University. And she's figured very centrally in the evolution of Bach. She started with us and then has certainly outgrown us in a way and gotten a real career. But this will sort of be her swan song, not the last time, but the last time for this, her residence here. And she's doing a couple of arias from Messiah.
And people will have seen her name as Sherazad Pantaki, which
correct.
I always loved her name.
Yeah. So she's doing two arias from Messiah, which helps is Handel and also promotes the fact we're doing the Christmas portion of Messiah in December, in the upcoming season. And then she managed to talk Kerry Hyman into coming back from New Jersey to play. So, I mean, it's old home week.
And Kerry Hyman was the longtime harpsichordist.
He was one of the co-founders in 1996. And until he left to go to the American Boy Choir, he was the only accompanist we'd ever used. And so it's going to be a wonderful kind of reunion, and he'll play continuo, and Sherry will sing Handel, and Christina and Iskandar will play Handel. So I decided to take the three Mendelssohn motets and divide them up and interlard these two Handel pieces for the first half. And I think you're going to play the piece that will end part one, which is they're out of order. This was originally the first motet in Opus 69 by Mendelssohn. It's a setting of the Nunc Dimittis. He wrote these three pieces are all Anglican canticles, Psalm 100 and the Magnum Nunc. And it's interesting because he composed them with German text, but he also had an English text in mind. And there are many, many places in them where the underlay for the English is better than the underlay for the German. I think these were really written for the English market, for Novello.
Novello, the publisher.
Yeah, in England. And, oh, by the way, since he was in Germany, he wrote them with German text too, so they're really bi-textual. But we're doing them in German, and this is Herr, nun lässest du deinen Diener in Frieden fahren.
Which
Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. It's the canticle for Compline.
The song of Simeon. From the New Testament.
And this performance, since I brought it in, I can set it up, is by my favorite recording choir, the RIAS Kammerchor, the Berlin Radio Chamber Choir. I think it's Marcus Creed conducting.
Marcus Creed. Mm-hmm.
And I think they're one of the better choirs in the world. So this is a beautiful performance.
I was expecting you to say after, you said that it originally in German, but, some of it's in English. I thought you were going to say you were going to mix it up.
No. I think the German is better. And we had to make some adjustments to that. And as my chorus would readily tell you, that's part of the experience. But this is what you'll hear.
Okay, music by Mendelssohn. It's the first of his Opus 69 motets performed here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
music by Felix Mendelssohn, a setting of the Nunc Dimittis, which is the song that Simeon sings, or at least in the Bible says, well, I guess they say he sings something, when he first encounters Jesus as a boy.
And on February 2nd.
What, on Groundhog Day?
That's the Feast of the Presentation.
Is that
yeah.
what it is?
Yeah, Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I don't think I think that's purely coincidental.
I think so.
Yeah, and so he says he can die now because he's seen what he needed to see.
God had promised him he would live to see the Messiah. And when Jesus shows up at the temple, when Mary went to get her ritual cleansing after childbirth, it was in the Catholic Church. It's the festival of the purification, Feast of Purification of the Virgin Mary. When it became a Protestant feast, it was the Feast of the Presentation, and that's the canticle that was assigned to that one.
That's a performance by the RIAS Kammerchor, or the what is it? The German Radio Chamber Choir.
Yeah, it's Berlin Radio Chamber Choir, I think.
Marcus Creed directing here, and that you can hear that. And both of the other Opus 69 motets sung by the chorus of the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana this coming Sunday, July 12th, in Champaign at the Episcopal Chapel of St. John the Divine, which, by the way, has been recently completed, or, you know, as best they could do, given that they didn't have the space they used to have before another building went up next to them. And it's expanded. The acoustics there are wonderful, and it should be wonderful here to hear the choir there. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. My guest is Chet Always, who's the music director of the Baroque Artists, and we'll be hearing more about that in just a moment.
It's been 200 years since Haydn passed away, and his music endures. Saturday mornings around 8:15, we'll listen to one of the 104 symphonies Haydn wrote, plus other classical music, the Writer's Almanac, news headlines, and the weather forecast. This is Vincent Trauth inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 for The Weekend Blend on listener-supported WILL.
Chet, when you just were telling the story of Simeon, I was thinking, knowing that you are also a director of the choir at Grace Lutheran Church in Champaign, have you always mixed? Have you always been a church choir director as well as a?
Yes, I came to choral singing through the church and public school. You know, and long before I had aspirations of being a conductor, I sang in choirs. So, and my master's degree is a master's in sacred music from Union Seminary.
You know, I had forgotten that.
Yeah,
right.
It was really a way of avoiding Vietnam. But
is that true?
Yeah. Because the Baptist Church, thank God, recognized a minister of music as a minister. So I got a ministerial deferment. And I'm fond of saying I got the degree from Union Seminary. I got the education from New York City, which you can understand, I think, probably.
Well, I could imagine anyway.
Yeah. It was a great 2 years that I was there.
And so how does your life mix those things now, the sacred and the secular?
Being at the University of Illinois, I'm very conscious about not doing Christian music with ensembles there. It's a state university, and I believe in the separation of church and state, like in the Constitution. And so I do sacred music, but it tends to be very generic. I tend towards psalm settings. One of my assistants wanted to do something, and I said, no, you can't do that. That's too Christian. It would fly at the place where you've been, but it's not going to work here. So I'm conscious of the fact that we have a broad population base, a multi-faith or no-faith population base, so it's got to be good music, and it's also got to be something that is accessible on multiple levels, or, you know, not excluding anybody particularly. So I steer clear of really obviously Christian music.
Well, that's got to be, I imagine, for a lot of choral singers who love choral singing, who simply can't avoid religious music because so much wonderful music was written from some religious tradition or another,
sure,
almost exclusively Christian in the case of the Western music that most choirs sing here.
Well, we did, for example, last year, a concert choir sang part of a mass by Victoria. That is a Christian piece. But the mass ordinary, especially in Latin, when nobody really understands what you're saying anymore anyway, is not an obviously Christian piece then. But it's if you take seriously, as I do, the need to expose your chorus to music of all periods, anything before the 17th century is almost invariably Christian and sacred music in Latin. So you can't avoid it, and even in the 17th century. And it goes on from there. It begins to fade out. So by the 19th century, Christianity is a much less potent force in a generation of music and art in general, I think, than it had been for the previous parts of its existence.
But still very
oh,
much.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, Mendelssohn right. was himself a devout believer, if I recall correctly.
He was born Jewish, and he converted to Lutheranism to get a job, basically. Mendelssohn Bartholdy was his family name, and he dropped the Bartholdy. But he did that. He became Lutheran to become director of the Berlin Staats- und Domchor, which was the choir at the church, which was associated with the imperial, the Kaiser's chapel. And in fact, speculation is that some of these pieces may have been sung there. But you'll see that their psalms are there. Again, they're not overtly Christian. Although Mendelssohn was the sort of reviver of Bach, he also did Bach-like music, but this music is not particularly Bachian.
Right. But it's his choral music, which is a whole lot less well-known to most people than his instrumental music.
Mm-hmm.
Is often very wonderful and occupied an enormous amount of his time.
Well, I think he set the standard awfully high and suffers a lot from poor imitators. Mendelssohn's music is he's one of those composers that writes for the chorus and makes them sound good. He really understands the instrument, and consequently, his choral music, though it's easily stereotyped, is without peer, and people who tried to imitate it in Victorian England particularly reduced his stature, I think, by rather poor imitations of what he did without the quality that he had.
Well, he, as I recall, the little bit of Mendelssohn that I've sung, it's generally not terribly difficult to sing.
No.
Probably for the reasons you just gave.
Well, Elijah, for example, is one of the after Messiah is probably the piece that will draw people out of the woodwork to come sing in your choir. And there's a reason, because it's great music and it's dramatic and it's not difficult. He had a knack for writing accessibly and yet interestingly for the chorus.
Unlike, say, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony or his
yes.
Missa Solemnis.
Right.
You know, which is two of the most strenuous pieces you would ever want to attempt
to
sing.
You know, I hope I never have to prepare the Ninth Symphony finale again.
I mean, I gave you an opportunity once. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember.
I asked once, and you said, "No way."
it's the most difficult thing in the world to do. You know, because you know it's a terribly strenuous and demanding piece for whatever reason. And there are many that have been proffered to explain it, but you can only rehearse it down an octave so long. You've got to eventually grapple with singing the piece as it is and trying to make it work. But you know, you can kill a choir in a hurry.
Yeah, it's very high for almost everybody.
And the same. That's a nice segue to Dixit Dominus, because the same thing applies. The thing that's scary about this piece is Handel wrote it when he was just a kid. I mean, he was 22. In Italy when he wrote this piece, and I suspect that he had access to, knowing how good he was at insinuating himself with people of power and wealth, he had access to unparalleled resources in Italy. He wrote this in 1707 in Italy, and some have speculated it's part of a larger Vesper service along with some other Vesper psalms. Dixit is the first psalm in the Christian liturgy, or Catholic liturgy, that is assigned to Vespers. But it's a five-part choir. It's five-part string orchestra. It's about 40 minutes long, and it is virtuosic and athletically difficult. High.
Well, I know one of your choir members said in an email that I think this is maybe where I heard about it. A friend of mine sent an email around about this concert, and I remember her comment was something like, it's the most exciting piece she's ever sung, and she's done a lot of choral singing.
Yeah. Well, the last movement of this, I've said to my classes when I've taught this piece, is I think the hardest piece of Baroque polyphony there is. It's harder than Bach wrote because it's so instrumentally conceived. Handel, like Beethoven to some extent, is treating the voices as if they were instruments. There are numerous high B-flats for the soprano, numerous high Fs for the bass. Everybody's up there. And long melismas. And melismas that the young Handel wrote that don't behave like they're supposed to. You can do melismas like in Messiah because they follow the pattern and don't break the pattern. It's a question of when does the pattern stop. But in this piece, as the choir members will tell you, there is hardly a melisma in there that is predictable beyond one or two iterations of the basic idea. He keeps changing.
And a melisma is
many notes sung to the same syllable.
It's one syllable. Right? So forever, you know, on a bunch of different notes.
Yeah, right.
Well, like many people will know, for unto us a child is born from
Messiah.
You sing born for about 10 bars.
Right.
You know, and that's fun, but also not all that easy.
Right. And that's part of the difficulty of this piece. It's very dramatic. It's fun to sing once you get it in the voice, but we're doing it at A440, not at A415, which makes it even higher. And but the chorus has done just really a wonderful job surmounting the difficulties the piece poses.
Well, we're going to come back to Dixit Dominus as we're teasing folks here. The reason we're talking about it is that you can hear complete performance of this setting of Psalm 110 by Handel by the forces of the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana this coming Sunday evening in Champaign. Chet Allwiss is the music director of Bach, B-A-C-H, the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana. And they're also doing Mendelssohn motets, which is why we're talking about Mendelssohn, and some of their instrumentalists, returning members in this old home weekend for the Bach group, playing one of Handel's trio sonatas, which we thought we'd hear at least some of right now on Live and Local. This is FM 90.9. Those were a couple of movements from a trio sonata by George Frederick Handel, his Opus 2, Number 5, in a performance here by London Baroque. And you can hear it played by members of, or really alumni of, the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana this coming Sunday evening at 7:30 at the Chapel of St. John the Divine on South Wright Street in Champaign. And the two violinists are returning longtime members. Well, Christine Alexandru was a longtime member, and then she married this fellow, and then he became a short-term member. Mm-hmm. And they went off for living in Spain now.
San Sebastian, Spain, and playing an orchestra and having to put up with beautiful scenery.
Yeah, what a shame.
Yeah.
And so they happened to be visiting at the time they're doing this concert, so they got pulled into it, and Carrie Hyman, the harpsichordist, who was the founding harpsichordist for continuo player for the Baroque artists, coming back also from the American Boy Choir. And I assume Ben Hayek will be the cello continuo player on the program.
The usual suspects,
the longtime usual suspects. And Chet, always the usual suspect when we're talking about the...
Very suspect.
The Bach group, here he is on Live and Local again. To talk about some wonderful music. So this Dixit Dominus, which is the big piece on the program, we will give some samples of in just a moment here on Live and Local. It's time to give a few items on our events calendar, and there are very few that I have for the next couple of days. But one of them is a concert by the Decatur Municipal Band tonight at 7 o'clock at Central Park, a free program in Decatur. Tomorrow night, another of the faculty recitals for the Illinois Chamber Music Festival at Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington. That is in Westbrook Auditorium. That's tomorrow night at 6:30. And on Wednesday, you can hear a concert by the Peoria Municipal Band at the Peoria Riverfront. That's a free program Wednesday evening at 7:30. And a couple of musicals. The Celebration Company at the Station Theater is giving the musical version of The Full Monty, which, of course, started as a film. That's Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, runs through the weekend. And Funny Girl opens at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, two performances on Wednesday at 2 in the afternoon and at 8 in the evening.
I might point out, just since I give them a plug, this is the final week of ISYM. And so their concluding concerts will take place in Cranford on Saturday, if anybody wants to go, and they're free. It's the Junior High Chorus and Junior High Band and Orchestra.
And this is the Illinois Summer Youth Music.
Mm-hmm.
Are you involved with the
Not
with
this
chorus
year.
At all?
Uh-uh.
But you have been in
I have in the past.
Many
yeah.
years past.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of concerts on Saturday. As a matter of fact, since you brought it up, on Friday on this show, we're going to have a few members of the jazz band.
Oh, good.
Camp are going to come in here and
good.
And play in our studio, which ought to be, that's going to be yet another fun
first,
setup.
Yeah.
We've had a little jazz go on, but we haven't had full combos, so we're going to have a bit of an acoustic challenge. but I'm really looking forward to hearing the kids. Right. We had, from the first week, we had some of the quartets, instrumental quartets, and that was a fun show. So we'll look forward to that on Friday. And while we're at it, I'm trying to remember who's going to be on the show tomorrow. Tomorrow at noon, a group called Strings Attached, which is a bluegrass band that will be playing in at Kickapoo State Park in towards Danville.
Mm-hmm.
On what is the day they're playing? They're playing on Friday evening at 5:30 at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood. So they'll be on tomorrow. That should be a fun show performing live for us also. So this Dixit Dominus. What else do you want to say before we play an extended segment?
Well, Handel was a young guy, and the thing that separates Handel from Bach, they're the two obviously giant figures in the Baroque period. Bach never left Germany. He lived his life within a very small radius, relatively speaking, geographically. Handel early on had aspirations to be an opera composer, and in his teens, late teens, he decided that the only way he was going to be able to do this properly was to go to Italy, and so he made a pilgrimage. In 1707 and 1708, he was in Italy, just finding out what he could find out, meeting people, schmoozing, you know, learning the musical style. And he wrote this piece at that point in time, and it really reflects all that he had assimilated of the Italian style. What you're going to be hearing is a sequence of three movements. The first is Dominus ad extris tuis, which starts with a string trio, and then it is a group of soloists and in pairs, soprano one, soprano two, then alto tenor, and then bass. And then the chorus comes in to round it off, and the ritornello follows. And anybody who's heard Corelli or Vivaldi, this will sound just like that, because it's these overlapping suspension figures that Handel, they have come to become part of Handel's signature style. Following that, then there's a two-part chorus, Judicabit in Nationibus, and since it talks about judging the nations, it's imitative counterpoint for law. Law equals fugue. And then the second part of this piece, where it changes meter, sometimes it's thought of as a separate movement, is Handel at his dramatic, impetuous best, showing or depicting what the text talks about. And not, it's kind of not for the squeamish. God's going to bash in the skulls of the unfaithful. And this is Conqua Sabit. And so Handel has the chorus do very strong, accented music for this to symbolize almost a chopping motion.
So this is the Baroque equivalent of a horror film for this moment.
Splatter music, film. Yeah.
He's
giving you background music in a way, but it's fulfilling his operatic aspirations and also showing the people in Italy what he'd learned.
Well, let's find out.
Okay.
This is from Handel's setting of Psalm 109, the Dixit Dominus. What does that mean literally?
Dixit Dominus, the Lord said, or God said to, Dixit Dominus ad dextris meis, ad Dominus meo. The Lord said to my master, and this is a psalm of David that is God is speaking to David.
And in the tradition, we just call it the Dixit Dominus. Those are the first two words, and it goes on from there.
And it's Psalm 109 in the Catholic Church, but 110 in the Protestant Church.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. The choir of King's College, Cambridge, performs here. How many of the soloists do we have in this portion?
There are five in the first part.
So they all show up
all five
in this bit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we actually have five here. Teresa Tsilis Gara is the soprano. Dame Janet Baker is the mezzo. Martin Lane, singing alto. Robert Teer, the tenor. And John Shirley Quirk, the bass. This is sort of an all-star English cast, although I hadn't heard of the soprano from back in those days. Different style, I imagine, than your folks will be singing.
A bit.
A little heavier, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is sort of the gold standard. This is the piece I grew up learning this piece on. So.
Well, you told me while we were listening to the previous piece, you wore out the record.
Yeah.
Which one can do. You can't really wear out a CD these days. But this is from a CD version of this performance. Hearing it on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Oh,
was a portion of the Dixit Dominus, a setting of Psalm 109, or in the Protestant Church 110, by George Frederick Handel, and the text translates in one way, like this: "The Lord at thy right hand has broken kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations, he shall fill the ruined places and shatter heads," or smash skulls, as we were saying earlier, "in the land of many." And that's what they were doing right at the end with that. It was meant to be a little bit of imitative sorts of singing. It was a sort of gentle smashing of heads there. And this performance given by these soloists in the early part of that segment, soprano Teresa Zilis-Gara, mezzo-soprano Dame Janet Baker, alto Martin Lane, tenor Robert Teer, and bass John Shirley Quirk, with the choir of of King's College, Cambridge, and the English Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Sir David Wilcox. And in the case of Sunday's performance by the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana, rather than a full orchestra using just one instrument on a part, and it's a small space at St. John's, I was going to say Cathedral, St. John's Chapel in Champaign. And how big's the choir?
About 40.
About 40. So not a large choir.
It's about normal size. I don't know that I had them all there yet.
Which has to be scary. It's a pretty difficult piece. But, you know, how do you deal with that? I mean, this the one part of the Baroque artists that is steady throughout the year, as we've said before when you've been on this show, is the chorus.
Right.
I mean, it's really the chorus is the heart of the Baroque artists.
Right.
And yet there is this attendance thing, getting everybody there when you just rehearse once a week.
It's less of a problem during the year than it is in the summer, obviously, because people... But, you know, my attitude is if they're willing to commit to it and learn it, and we give them aids, and, you know, it's frustrating from time to time because you wind up saying the same things at every rehearsal for the people that haven't heard. What? You know? But in the end, it all works out, and as long as the piece comes out okay and everybody, it gives the people the chance to sing the music, and that's what I'm doing this for.
Well, we'll hear another segment, a rather contrasting segment from this music in just a moment. You're listening to Live and Local. This is WYLL FM and HD Urbana, and we're broadcasting from Campbell Hall for public telecommunication, thanks to the generosity of Alice and Robert Campbell. And it's thanks to the generosity of you, our listeners, that we're able to bring you any programs at all. If you'd like to make a contribution to the station to support this program and everything else you hear at WYLL AM, FM, and TV, you can do that quite easily by going to our website anytime. It's willpledge.org. And for that matter, if you want to hear archives of this show, if you missed some of this conversation with Chet Always, you can hear the whole thing on our website. Just go to will.illinois.edu, and right on the front page is a Live and Local segment. And click that button. I think you can probably even just click on my face if you want, and it'll take you to the archives, and you can hear past shows as well, at least up until several weeks ago. This is FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly.
Fishing, canoeing, biking, hiking, and free music concerts on Tuesday and Friday nights. You can find it all at Kickapoo State Park. Join us for Music at the Landing with bluegrass band Strings Attached. That's Friday night from 5:30 to 7:30. This concert is a partnership between WILL and Kickapoo Landing. For more information, call 217-466-8399. See you at the park.
And as we mentioned on tomorrow's show, on Live and Local, we'll have the band that will be playing at Kickapoo on Friday evening, 5:30, Strings Attached, one of whose members is coordinator for the music that happens there a couple of times every week throughout the summer. And a bluegrass band will be on the show tomorrow, playing live in our Studio F. Looking forward to that. That's for tomorrow from noon to 1. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And we'd better play this other segment from the Handel to make sure we actually have time before we have to go out at 101. So set this up for us.
This is the following movement, and it's a slow, pathos-laden Italianate duet for two sopranos with continuo. I told you it sounds like the beginning, sounds like Vivaldi's concerto, Winter, from the Four Seasons. And there's a male cantus firmus that comes in four times, depicting the text, Propteria exaltabit caput. The text and the music don't really match up at all. De Torrente is from the torrents along the way, from the spring sides along the way, they will lift up their heads because they're drinking there. And what that has to do, I don't know, but it's gorgeous music.
And Cantus Firmus, you mentioned that the male means what?
They're just singing a chant like it's an octave leap to show lifting up the head.
So that underlays...
It underlays it at four times during the course of the piece, but it's basically a duet.
Okay, this is from the Dixit Dominus of Handel, the next to last portion of it, a short portion here. Again, the forces of choir of King's College, Cambridge, the various soloists we mentioned earlier, English Chamber Orchestra led by Sir David Wilcox. A portion from Dixit Dominus by George Frederick Handel, the text which translates, as he shall drink of the torrent in the way, therefore shall he hold his head high, one translation. Choir of King's College, Cambridge, and soloists, the English Chamber Orchestra led by Sir David Wilcox. You can hear the entire Dixit Dominus, as well as three motets by Mendelssohn and a trio sonata by Handel, Sunday evening at 7:30, performed by the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana under the direction of Chester Always, who was my guest, has been my guest this hour on Live and Local. The performance is at the Episcopal Chapel of St. John the Divine, the corner of Wright and Armory Streets in Champaign. And tickets, there are no tickets, you just pay at the door. Just show up and pay at the door. For more information, baroqueartists.org. This is WYLL, FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana. We're the listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. This afternoon will be mostly sunny, the high 85. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy with a low of 60. Tomorrow, becoming partly sunny, the high 85. And Wednesday, we'll have intervals of clouds and sunshine with a high of 86 degrees. We're currently at 81. News headlines are next. More music for you at 6 minutes past the hour. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local.